grizzly, it slumped back to all fours, trying to focus on the creatures that had done this to it, still unaware of the imminence of its own passing.
Mildred?
I got it.
Mildred's face was set like black marble, her eyes narrowed, regarding the behemoth along the barrel of her Czech target blaster. The gigantic head lifted, and its right eye rolled toward the group. The grizzly made a stupendous effort to raise itself onto its hind legs, but the wounds and the loss of blood thwarted the attempt. It simply stood there, blood dripping on the long muzzle into the snow.
Forgive me.
Its legs crumpled under it, and it rolled sideways with an awesome, ponderous grace.
That's it. That's done, the bastard. We done the bastard. We done good.
Don't be too sure about that, boys. Baron Nelson might not agree with you.
Ryan Carter had ridden long enough with the traitor to recognize a Sekhman when he heard one.
Traitor?
Yeah.
You said he was called Traitor. Just that? Didn't have a real name?
Just Traitor. Sometimes he was known as the Traitor. Most times it was just Traitor.
Traitor.
Outside the hut of the shaman woman sees all ways. The narrow stream that would eventually become the Mississippi River fought its way past tangles of rotting trees, on through the shrouding ice. It had been snowing for the past couple of days, since Abe had been dropped off by the small wag that had given him a lift from the western outskirts of Chicago. The driver had been part Sioux, carrying home-brewed liquor between the scattered bills that lay between the Dakotas and the lakes.
Name sees always, and she's mostly Chippewa. Why is this shaman in all these parts? I'm linked to her by marriage through my grandmother's Running Deer clan. You want to know about this traitor guy? Then she's the one to ask. I'll tell you how to find her.
The gunner from Warwag 1 had become totally preoccupied with his quest. When Traitor had taken his final mysterious walk into the trees, Abe had been the last one to see him. Everyone, including Ryan Carter, Christy Roth, and J.B. Dix, had known for sure that the tough old man was near his end. He'd been torn apart by some kind of cancer in his guts for months, and death had become the silent shadow, always at his shoulder. Then, Abe, recovering from near-mortal wounds, had begun to hear the rumors, whispers, shadows around a campfire. After his opportune meeting with Ryan and the others, Abe had tried to set it all behind him, placing the thought in a bolted cupboard in a locked room in the west wing of his memory. But however hard he threw away the key, he always woke in the morning to find it on his memory's pillow. Traitor was alive. It wasn't something that a man could easily cope with. It made sleeping difficult and set the brain to wandering at dangerous moments. So, Abe had decided to enter on his own private odyssey and track down the source of the ceaseless rumors. Track down Traitor, alive or dead. Seize All Ways threw a handful of dusty powder onto the glowing embers of her fire. It gave off a rich choking scent that made Abe's head spin. Images flashed into his mind. Sunshine on a heather-covered hillside above the rolling plains of bloody old Kansas. Salmon leaping in the rainbow spray of a waterfall in the Cascades. The shadows of evening surging up from the faint green ribbon at the bottom of the canyon.
This traitor was wise in the ways of the people?
Some said he had a touch of native blood in him. Shoshone, Paiute, Apache, Mi'kmaq, Nez Perce.
Enough!
Sees All Ways was a tiny figure, hunched under a patterned blanket, only her bird-bright eyes visible beneath the hood. Abe could see she wore a beautiful antique ring of turquoise, bound with whorls of beaten silver.
You heard tell that he might still be this side of the Dark River?
I have heard this, but Traitor is only a man.
A special kind of man.
He breathes and eats like other men. He dies like other men.
Yeah, we all do. I just want to know for my own peace of mind.
I understand this. Cease always met the traitor many times. In the tongue of the people, we called him, how do you say it? The man who walks without friends.
No, traitor had friends.
Close ones?
Of course. I knew men would have given their lives for him. I would have done it.
Oh, perhaps the change between my words and yours...
You mean it sort of means something a little different in your language?
Perhaps.
Oh, try, please.
A man who chooses his own trail through a desert place and takes no guidance from others, yet is followed by others.
What's funny? That sounds like a pretty true description of traitor.
But it takes over 4 hands of your words and only 1 hand in the tongue of the people. That is funny.
So you still haven't said. Please, I need to know. Is he living? And if he is, then where can I go find him?
Sees Always delved into a little deerskin pouch around her wattled throat and pulled out 8 or 9 small pieces of bone, polished with age to golden ivory. She dashed them to the dirt floor of her hut with surprising venom.
There!
Abe leaned forward to peer at the jumbled pattern, unable to perceive any shape to it.
What's it tell you?
It... I do not understand this.
What? All you have to do is tell me if he's alive and point me toward him, not asking you to come along with me.
The bones tell me that traitor probably lives. Probably.
Ace on the fucking line, lady!
He is west of here. Far west. The bones speak of salt oceans and high mountains.
Far west as a man can go?
Sees Always gathered up the fragile slivers of ivory slowly and carefully. Twice she glanced up at Abe, as though she were thinking of saying something more.
What? Say it, will you?
Trader had other friends, you say, and some are living. 2 or possibly 3. I see a woman with hair like living fire, and she has the power also. She can see what is there to be seen.
Christy Roth. Other 2 must be J.B. Dix and Ryan Carter.
The signs tell me of them.
Yeah? Well, come on, old lady. Tell me what you see about Ryan and the others.
Danger. I see them in terrible danger.
The fortress home of the Baron Alfred Nelson stood high on a promontory, accessible only by a narrow 2-lane blacktop that had been kept swept clear of snow. It had once been a resort hotel, built, according to Doc's whispered guesses, around the first third of the 20th century. It had originally been called the Vista Encantadora Hotel, and had been a retirement home for elderly and senior military officers, ending up as a seedier, cheaper motel called simply the Vista. The Baron had retained the name when he took it over, as the center for his own ville and hunting domain. His patrolmen had been out on skis, moving fast and silently across the powdery snow. It was a skill that Ryan had never mastered, though he could get along adequately. The Baron had trained his men well. The ambush had been perfectly and safely executed. None of the companions moved. Ryan half-turned, glancing over his right shoulder, not seeing anyone.
So you got the drop on us. Good for you. How do we know you got the guns to take us all?
You don't. Make the wrong move and it gets to be corpse counting day. You can try it.
I don't think so.
You're wise, Outlander. You're in some deep shit, chilling Big Bob like that. Baron Nelson always fancied taking the muty demon out himself. Still, isn't like being down on your back, watching the sky out of fading eyes, is it? Or just the one eye in your case.
The patrol wore hooded white parkas and pants, making them hard to spot at a distance, against the snow. They were all armed with the traditional Sekhman's favorite weapon of choice, the trusty antiquated M16 automatic rifle. Technically, these were M16A5s, chambered to take a standard 9mm round. The effective range of the old Army blaster was just under 350 yards. It could be fired in 4 modes, on single shot, semi-automatic, automatic, or on full cyclic. At close to 1,000 rounds per minute, the latter would empty a full 30-round mag in a breath of 2 seconds. The dozen men in the sex squad looked like they knew how to handle the rifles. Ryan watched them leave cover after he and the others had carefully placed their own blasters on the ground.
Good. My name's Rick Coburn, outside sec chief to Baron Alfred Nelson of Vistaville.
The man was tall and skinny, 40-ish, with a flattened face and narrowed eyes.
Is there any chance of us sort of slip sliding away, Mr. Coburn, as a favor?
Coburn